Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, racing through the month of November.
We only have what, 20 plus 30, 40 more days to be the hell done with this year. 2021 can't get any worse, can it?
Sure.
I mean, what? Smallpox comes back.
That'd be dynamite. I was vaccinated when I was a kid.
Yeah. Everybody's got that little mark. You have a big mark, or did it fade out?
I have the big mark. I have the real one, the real vaccination.
Right. It looks like a new belly button in the wrong place.
Well, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's a little, very minor scar.
Yeah. Well, it's not good. It's going to be fine. We're going to have a good year. 2021 is going to be fine. Get it all out of our system. Throw the kitchen sink in 2020, and let's just be done with it. So it's almost like, you know, this was this is biblical, you know, this is where, you know, sometime in the future, my great grandson or great granddaughter will be talking about, you know, Pappy, tell me about that year 2020 again, that horrible story that you tell. Anyway. All right, here we go. Got some things to talk about. We got a double dose talking about tonight, split government and a vaccine. We got pandemic woes are being tempered.
That's what Trump said.
Yeah, exactly.
That he was mocked for saying.
What was he saying? The vaccine will be here?
You're going to have a vaccine? Not. The guy's a phony.
Well, it was bound to happen soon enough, and now he's mad it happened. I heard on CNBC, I'm so tired of this guy on CNBC. He talks to the CEO of Pfizer, who came out with a vaccine announcement Sunday night, or Monday morning, 7 o'clock Monday morning. And he starts talking about, listen, when did you know about this? Why wasn't this released earlier? Turning this into a discussion about how maybe Pfizer was trying to hold this back so that it would screw up the election. Now, even if it was a week earlier, you know, one whole week earlier, the Monday before the election, would that have changed that much?
No, not when the election's rigged.
Oh. We're gonna go that direction, huh?
Come on, you're gonna give me these kind of
softballs.
Another softball tosser.
But you're only bunting them, by the way. You're not hitting it out of the park. Let's just say that for fact.
Well,
I disagree with the whole rigging thing.
I know you do. You're.
You know what I think is really funny about the whole discussion about rigged elections? Is that we only talk about it being rigged by one side. The Republicans couldn't ever have rigged the election in their way. They couldn't have done anything. It's only the Democrats. How is that?
Well, I've talked to the Republicans rigged elections before.
Oh, okay. So you're just saying
during the George Bush era?
So you're saying this time it was...
It goes back and forth. Everyone, you know, whoever has the newest, you know, the newest gambit.
The problem with the problem that I have with the thought that the Democrats rigged the election is I don't think that's smart.
I don't think they're that smart
and capable.
Oh, that's what they want you to think. Just because they act stupid, just pretty consistently, I might say, doesn't mean they are stupid.
All right. Well,
but I like the argument. It's good. Solid.
Yeah. Biden-Harris wins. The win is applauded by the markets, but there's more to that story. Best week.
So this is what we want to talk about. I want to hear what you say because the market skyrocketed.
We got some discussion about that. Yep. The best week actually.
It seems to me, the way I looked at it was, okay, we've elected a president who says he's going to raise taxes.
Right.
He's always made announcements about H-1B. He's going to raise corporate taxes. He's going to let more H-1Bs in that is what I mean there. And he's got all these ideas, and he's going to go Green New Deal. He's going to go back into Paris Climate Accord, which costs us a lot of money, is going to re-regulate everything.
Yep.
And so the market skyrockets.
Right. Because it has, because there's a very simple explanation to this. That the biggest issue is that he can't do any of that because now we have a split government.
He can't do any of it. So they, hey, Biden got in. Oh, no. Oh, he can't do anything because he's going to be stuck.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Let's pump this. Well, you know, I've always been a big advocate of a do-nothing government.
Well, that's what
I work for the government.
Right. That's what it is.
And in my experience, when you have a government that doesn't do anything, you know, I was an air pollution inspector. You go in the field, and there's these moments where people aren't doing anything. The more they do, the more it screws things up. So do nothing is a positive thing. When people said, Eisenhower era, there was a do nothing. I'm thinking that's what you want.
Yeah, you always want either Congress being in recess so they can't screw things up, or you want to have a split government or a, you know, however you want to look at it. However the split government goes, whatever that arrangement is, it's better. So going into the election, we had a lot of concern about this blue wave that was going to come upon us and that it was going to be a wipeout of the Republicans' majority in the Senate, and they were going to have control of the House.
Everything.
And Biden, it was going to be, and therefore every one of the initiatives, which could be very difficult for markets to digest, was going to be like, oh my God, you know, we're going to get back into the Richie Riches. We're going to get back at the corporations. We're going to do something about the estate tax, the capital gains tax. And like you said, roll back the deregulations and get back to just this whole new Green New Deal. And then when reality, I don't think it's totally done yet. It's 99% done. There's a couple of votes outstanding, I think, in for the Senate still, some runoffs.
Yeah, here and there.
But basically, it's now this big relief that, oh, great. He'll be able to do some stuff, but not a lot if the Republicans are going to block everything. So I think
they will.
Yeah. So the markets are like, okay, so basically we don't have to worry about the tax increase. We don't have to worry about that. But they're also big spenders. And boy, we like spending just like them now. So if they come out with an infrastructure deal, hey, maybe we'll do something about that. It may not be as big. And if they have the Democrats come up with and Biden comes up with a stimulus plan for the COVID, well, you know what? We're okay with that up to a certain amount.
Free money.
Yeah, free money. So, but not everything to pump the economy, not to take it down at all. And therefore, everybody got what they wanted. That's the theory.
Well, except Trump.
Well, except that you may still have Trump. And now, so let's talk about that. Let's suppose just for a moment, because I thought it was pretty interesting when Trump was leading for a while there, when some of the states were turning red, the markets were actually coming in a bit on that. It wasn't big. It wasn't a big deal, but they were
Maybe the markets are sick of Trump.
I don't, maybe.
I mean, you seem to be.
I'm just sick of his shenanigans. That's all.
Yeah, well, you know, you feel good that he got kicked out.
You know, and by the way, this vote, I don't think was really a vote.
How's your sister feel about this?
I haven't talked to her, but she's really mad because that, Trump was going to keep Obamacare. That's what she wanted. Yeah, take a moment to absorb that. It takes a while to absorb.
I can't absorb it, so.
Because obviously Trump put in Obamacare.
Is this what your sister thinks?
Yes. I get it. So, you know, and she hasn't realized that they're trying to kind of pull the rug on some of this. And it's right now in the Supreme Court, as a matter of fact, and it looks like they're not going to go with the, you know, the whatever the issue was that they're trying to change around a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but you know, just angry people are angry, right?
I don't think the Supreme Court's going to be the big disaster the Democrats expect.
No, I don't think so either. You know, you would only hope. It's only till recently that they really started, I mean, last, I don't know how many years, but they started really politicizing the Supreme Court. I don't remember it really being that big of a deal on the political front before, do you?
It started during the Reagan administration with Justice Bork.
Oh, I remember that guy. He was mean looking, wasn't he?
He's a weird looking guy, but yeah. He's, if you look at his wiki page or look at his bio, incredibly accomplished.
Right. Well, that's the point. And hopefully what happens is they get in there. And because they're lifers, they're not going to be corrupted in any way, theoretically, by any political stance, theoretically. It's one thing to have a position, but as Supreme Court Justice, you're supposed to put your own personal... And listen, what's her name? Oh, well, her name escapes me already.
Amy.
Aim. She said it, I thought, beautifully when she taught, when she gave her acceptance speech, whatever you want to call it, that she wasn't going to let her personal convictions and personal feelings get in the way. She's going to read it by the letter of the law and how it was expressed through the Constitution. I thought that was
pretty good. I think she's going to be great. Yeah. Now you said that, you know, recently politicized. Let me remind you of something.
Yeah.
Because I happen to have collected a bumper sticker.
Oh.
And on the bumper sticker, this is when it would, I think it's been politicized even before this. The bumper sticker says, "Impeach Earl Warren."
Impeach.
Impeach Earl Warren. He was the Supreme Court Chief Justice during, I believe, the Nick, maybe as far back as Eisenhower. I'm not absolutely sure. I don't know how far back he goes, but he was the guy. And they were the right wingers, led by the John Birch Society at the time, were making a play to impeach him. You can do that, apparently. You can impeach the Supreme Court. You know, say, well, it's a lifetime thing. Well, you get impeached. It's not. I think it's hard to get impeached.
Has there ever been an impeachment of a judge?
No, not that I know of. Not a Supreme Court judge. Mm-hmm. I think there's been lower court judges that have been impeached.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And that goes back. So, you know, this is nothing new.
A lot of this
to me, all this stuff is old.
You know, I was thinking the other day about, you know what? All these executive orders, I was thinking to myself, like, gosh, they seem to be used a lot lately. And I said, before I say anything, before I go through, let me look up the history of executive orders. This is nothing new.
No.
The executive order has been used for decades. Now, probably it's a newer phenomenon of the last, 30 years or so. But executive orders are something that has been used quite excessively with Obama and before him with Bush, or, you know, going back a bit. You go back a number of presidents, they used executive orders quite regularly. So everybody's like, oh, the executive order. Look at how they're abusing
He's
it.
He's a dictator.
All right. Now, the other question we're going to ask in a moment is it over? So the markets are blasting higher. Earnings, economics, not really a big deal. The vaccine is a big issue. Even though we say record cases in the U.S. and around the world, but it doesn't matter, I guess, if there's a vaccine, or at least the mindset, it doesn't matter as much because there isn't going to be a vaccine. However, one of the things I'm thinking, if we have a 1-2 punch here of Biden as the president with the mask mandate and with the thing, you know, we're going to shut it down, we're going to close it down, we're going to, you know, tap it out. If some of these governors start all of a sudden saying, you know, there's a vaccine coming in a few months. Let's just keep people inside and safe until the vaccine comes. And your governor Newsom, he shut down the restaurants again. Indoor dining's done in San Francisco.
Yeah, there's some of the most famous restaurants in the city have closed permanently. Yeah, done. They're bad. Gone. They gave up.
Very sad. By the way, you want to hear about my meal? I had quite the meal on Saturday evening.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. I start out with a...
I think you sent out, you tweeted out pictures or something of this.
I tweeted out a picture of my beef jerky that I made that you thought was too spicy.
Without even tasting it.
I had this, we had Wagyu, A5 Japanese Wagyu, thinly sliced on a stone, and this great hamachi. Then
how did you cook? You know, cooking A5 Wagyu is an art, not a science.
Yeah, it's dipped slightly in an oil just to keep the hot stone from sticking, and then dipped in either a salt or a little flavoring. Very
this
lightly.
This is one of 1,000 ways that I've seen this. This is like going on YouTube and trying to – you can't find anybody that cooks it right. You can't find it – by the way, on YouTube – you can't find anybody, at least I've never found one example of how to cook basmati rice correctly.
Hmm.
So I am assuming that whatever you did wrong.
Okay, well, I didn't have basmati rice. I didn't cook it. I did have caviar afterwards. We had a flight of 3.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, it was quite.
So wait a minute. You had Wagyu beef and caviar?
Yeah, and a few other things too, but...
Did you go to a heart doctor shortly thereafter?
I was worried about that myself.
Actually, what's funny about Wagyu beef is that the fat itself is not the same kind of fat that most cattle have.
Yeah, and if you look at it, most people are like, ew. I'm like, wow, that's fantastic. It just melts right down. Delicious. Anyway,
it's actually a monounsaturated fat, much like olive oil. That particular fat from that particular breed. There's only the Wagyu. There's four breeds of Japanese cattle, and there's one in Korea that has the same phenomenon. They they crossbreed them to get that type of fat.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty astonishing.
Yeah. I'm gonna mention
One of the great just for people. Not that we're gonna go into this.
Yeah.
But for people looking to get that effect of a really high quality meat with a healthy fat, the best bargain in the supermarket shelves is Wagyu hamburger.
Mm.
It's reasonably priced. It's like $9 a pound.
Really?
And sometimes less. And it's well worth it.
You should keep that fat once you cook something. If you cook it off in a pan, keep that fat in a can somewhere. And use it for like something cooking.
Duck fat's probably even better.
Possibly. The other thing is we have all-time highs in a couple of different areas, a lot of stocks. And only thing that matters, again, are the stimulus and the vaccine. So I mentioned that, as I mentioned last week early up on the show, that we don't mention often enough, but live 9 p.m. Tuesdays, everybody listening on your iPod or MP3 player or your phone or whatever it is. Or your computer, for that matter. You could join us live on Tuesday evenings. I don't know why I said Wednesday. Tuesday evenings with listener chat room. Go over to dhunplug.com and check it out, and that would do it. All right, so we have this vaccine. So this let me set this up. Markets are kind of cranking higher all last week. Kind of came down a little bit on Friday. Monday morning, markets are starting to move up. Pre-markets, get up early in the morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock, look at what's going on. And we are seeing that it's about a 300-point plus on the upside for the Dow. NASDAQ's doing fine. S&P's great. The small caps are doing just fine. And all of a sudden, there's an announcement that Pfizer has now declared that in their recent trial, their vaccine, not their treatment, their vaccine, has over a 90% efficacy. Which is astounding. And he said over, by the way. It's not 90, it's over 90%.
Yeah, most flu vaccines don't have that.
Right. And you have things like that, like smallpox has that. Polio has that. Chicken pox. These are the kind of things that basically eradicated those diseases. And markets are like, oh. So the Dow Jones goes from 300 points up to 1,500 points up. In a matter of an hour.
That was quite something.
Unbelievable. Then it goes up to $1,700, 1,700 points up. Everything's flying. The small caps are up 6%. Banks are just flying. The airlines are off the charts. The cruise lines are just skyrocketing. All this is moving. Now, one of the reasons is because the efficacy on this, the ability for it to knock out this particular virus, is much higher than the baseline, what was expected. 50, 60% maybe was going to be like, okay, that would work. And 90% is pretty astounding without any major problems in the study with side effects. So
what? Keep going.
So there's a lot of questions that have to be asked, right?
Well, the first question I would ask is, did Pfizer's stock show any signs of going up before this announcement?
Not really. Most of these stocks were just kind of like moving around. The Modernas, the AstraZenecas, the Pfizers, the J&J. These have kind of been all floating around.
So you think they kept a lid on it?
Yeah, they kept a lid on it. I mean, BioNTech, which is the partner in this, the German company, has been moving around up a little bit. But again, there's a lot of anticipation about all of these from all these companies. So people are just putting money in saying, hey, you know what? Let's get in there. Now, this is... it was interesting because when Moderna came out with their early numbers, remember they had this, looking great, things are good, and then it just, the stock went flying higher, and then nothing, and still nothing. And, Pfizer at least has an experience of putting out drugs, getting them out into the street, whereas Moderna has never released anything. So when
this happened... How's Moderna looking right now?
I mean, last I saw it was up the last few days because of this. They use a similar mechanism. There's five or six companies that are doing the mRNA work that is being done with Pfizer, and there's another two companies. I think AstraZeneca and Novavax. But let's see, mRNA. is a symbol. Yeah, Moderna. It was down 2% today. Over the last month, it went from, let's see, last month it went from about 78 down to 65, back up to 78. And today closed.
Is Moderna?
Yeah, Moderna. Did nothing.
You think it's a good short?
I mean, if they don't come out with something, you got a real problem. You look at NVAX, NVAX, look at this stock. You know, if they don't come out with something, this thing is all over. NVAX was down another 12% today. The last 6 months, it was high as, what is that, 178, currently trading at 78.
Yeah. Still a long way to go before it hits one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's look at a whole year. Yeah, a year ago, it was at $4.35.
Well, then it's probably a $4.35 stock today.
Mm-hmm. So Nova, that's Novavax, NVAX.
I think I put it on the game.
Okay. So what's been happening is now everybody gets really excited. Markets go crazy. Shorts get squeezed. The markets turn around in a really weird way. So we have 1,700 points up on the Dow Jones Industrial, up about 5%. We have the small caps up about 6, 7%. We have cruise lines up 30, 40%. We have airlines up 18, 20%. Banks are up, the banking average. The KRA regional is up 16%. And all that's great, but wait a minute. What's happening to the other side? The technology shares. The companies that were selling furniture that you would get, like a Wayfair, that was selling furniture for all those people that were work from home. The Zooms, the DocuSigns. You know, all these names that have been pumped incessantly because of the stay at home, because of the potential lockdowns, because this is the way life is going to be forever, got obliterated over the last couple of days.
Yeah. It's almost as a group too.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it makes sense to me that some of these, like Zoom, and even Microsoft to some extent, but I don't still see what differences it makes with Facebook, even Google, or and particularly Amazon. Is people aren't going to stop using Amazon
because
they can
down.
Go to the mall.
Yeah, so Amazon's down.
They're not going to the mall anyway.
Right. Amazon's and the mall stocks roll up, by the way. And like Shake Shack was up 18%. Like everybody's going to start buying hamburgers all of a sudden.
It makes no sense.
Right. But I do agree that Zoom, which was down probably 30% from its high or so, and companies like Wayfair, which is down, I don't know, 35%, Overstock down over 50%, which is, you know, junk stocks to begin with that everybody was like, oh, they're going to be the next great names. Like for what? Like what?
For being overstocked.
Like what? Yeah. So this is going on yesterday. Today's Tuesday. Today, the same kind of thing. It wasn't as bad today as yesterday. Yesterday was pretty ugly where that diverges. And what's interesting is all the value stocks, the stuff that's been out of favor, energy stocks and banks and utilities and real estate, I mean, cranking higher. And amazing, you know, situation, you know, where you see that the rotation that everybody's been yearning for a long time. They've been looking for the idea that, oh, value is going to be good. And I thought that value, and I have felt that value is terribly underplayed and underinvested and undervalued. And
yeah, this is true.
The divergence was like 35% differential this year up until last week. The value side versus the growth side. Absurd. So that's what's been going on right now. So the question, though, is will the people today, everybody woke up like, uh-oh, wait a second. Wait. Are people going to be taking the vaccine that if it's out there that fast? And what about logistics? One of the problems you have, this stuff needs to be stored at negative 95 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, a lot of hospitals and other places don't have.
What?
Yes.
This particular vaccine needs to be frozen like that?
Yeah, all these vaccines on that side need to be.
Why? This.
I'm not exactly sure, but you can look that up and find out. There's something about it. Yeah, but you have to keep these at negative 95 degrees or so.
But do they shoot it into you at that temperature?
I would think not. They must, I don't know, do a little microwave of it first, I guess. Or something, you know. Hot rock, hot stones, something.
This seems to be some. This needs to be examined.
Right, well, the problem is logistics on this is it's a nightmare. First of all, trying to get out millions of stuff. Anybody's like, oh, we should buy Pfizer. I'm like, what are you going to buy Pfizer for? If Pfizer actually has the vaccine, do you think the government's going to allow you to Pfizer to charge all sorts of money for this vaccine? No.
Well, there's been lots of talk about it, about a worldwide mandate that they have to give it away.
Right. So you have a situation like that where maybe they'll take a few hundred million in, or maybe a couple of billion, or maybe 5 billion, but still not.
It's peanuts.
Right. So Pfizer came down today too. It was about 7% yesterday, came down a couple of percent. So you do, somebody in the chat room, do me a favor, look up why, and then I'll read it back, why you have to keep this at such a cold temperature and what happens there. So logistically, the hospitals, most hospitals, there's a few of them around New York and a few of the metropolitan areas that have this facility, but it's not like they have massive storage at negative 95 degrees. And then what about the transport? The transport from Pfizer or whoever is actually manufacturing this to the hospital, that means the transportation vehicle has to have a freezer at that level.
Yeah, that can't be too many of those out there.
Right. So I guess the play here is not necessarily the companies that are making the vaccine, but rather find the companies that are making those freezers.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing, or the trucks that have the capability. There can't be too many, so somebody's got to be building them.
I don't know who it is. I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't either. Who does?
I don't know. So that's going on. In the meanwhile, in the background, Russia's Minister of Health says on the wires that right after the Pfizer vaccine came out, the Sputnik V vaccine is also over 90% effective.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And Brazil halts the Chinese vaccine candidates and the testing that's going on in Brazil as a significant negative results and side effects and risk, and very significant, I think it's mortal risk.
But we'll never find out from the Chinese, that's for sure.
No, and they're giving it, by the way, they're already giving that out to their people.
Well, they've always had a thing for population control.
Oh, yeah. But you think it's population control for ex-China? Outside.
Well, I think, maybe. Yep. So giving it out to their own people, I don't know.
So finishing up a couple of things more on this whole COVID fiasco. Number one, I need you to explain something to me. So let me go through this item and tell me what's going on here. The reopening of restaurants, gyms, and hotels carries the highest risk and danger of spreading COVID-19, according to a study that used mobile phone data from 98 million people to model the risks of infection at different locations. Researchers at Stanford University and Northwestern used data collected between March and May in cities across the U.S. to map the movement of people. They looked at where they went, how long they stayed, how many others they were there with, and what neighborhoods they were visiting. Then they combined the information with data on the number of cases and how the virus spreads to create infection models. 98 million people, which is basically a third of the population of the U.S., right?
Okay.
How did they get this data? If it's 1 in 3, you and I, they must have been collecting our data somehow.
Well, that's a good question. It sounds to me as though maybe this whole report is bogus.
I mean,
how did they get the data? That's a great question. People don't check in. I've got COVID.
Is anybody allowed to see where, I mean, if there's, is it Facebook selling the data again? Because, I mean, you have to have your location services on.
Sounds like it's elusive. I don't see how you can get this data.
98 million people.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound right.
And how many kids are there? Are they tracking kids too? And who has this data? I mean, I'm sure.
You stumbled onto something here that's scandalous.
I don't understand this. I really don't understand this. Who has 98 million phone locations available to them? I thought there was supposed to be some cure. And you know what else? Isn't Apple all about the whole thing about security, privacy, and all this? And I would assume of 98 million people, there's a few iPhones scattered in there. I don't understand this at all. I'm baffled.
It's a good question.
All right. Well, somebody do some research on that, please. I don't have the time, but I'm just moving along. Last thing is I misspoke and I said it was Gavin Newsom. It's Mayor London Breed, which I don't like his name. Yeah. I don't like his name. London Breed.
London, it's a woman. It's a black woman.
It's a woman?
A black woman.
London? Somebody's name is London?
Yeah, but I'm telling you.
What is it? Is it one of the brothers and sisters like Paris and Athens?
I have no idea why they named her London.
I mean, it's like London Broil. London Breed.
Well, London Broil, there's a good name for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, London Breed. I know the name is silly.
Yeah.
She has done that thing about the poop in the street. That was her big thing. That's what she was running on.
The poop
she
in
was
the street.
Running on poop in the street. And if you ever ran on poop in the street.
Slippery. Very slippery. Very smelly. So she didn't do anything about that, but she is shutting down the restaurants. Indoor dining.
Yeah. Suspended. Yeah, but most of the places around the Bay Area have set up shop in the street. And no kidding. And so you go down a street and there'll be the one of the lanes either blocked off or they jut out into the street and take over the sidewalk and they put all these tables outside. And it's actually kind of like a carnival. It's got because they got all these lights hanging all over the place.
You know what that is? You're describing the streets in Asia.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's the streets in Asia.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it.
That's pretty cool. I like that, actually. Well, until it gets cold.
It's quite joyous. When you go down like any of these streets, you get a bunch of these restaurants. They're just jutted out in the street. They're packed, by the way. It's not like nobody's going out. They're all packed, these outside little group of tables. They're all lit up. It's just kind of like a party.
Yeah. So now the stimulus bill with all this COVID, which the thought was that we're going to have a lot more stimulus due to the COVID, I think is at risk now because of the virus, bringing this all together here. That's also why markets are getting a little weird. That's why the companies that need the stimulus the most, not the banks so much. We're seeing rates, by the way, the 10-year yield is at like 9.96 or so. It was like 0.5 a few months back. That is a massive move on the 10-year yield. Massive. And that's good for the banks, bad for the technology companies. When you have rates go up, they can no longer provide the excuse that they're buying these stocks at extraordinarily high multiples due to the fact that interest rates are so low. As they start moving up, if that's your argument, then what happens is when interest rates move up, now they'll change the argument, of course. Oh, there's still a good deal here. You know, it means they could do this and that, but the economy's healing, so it's better for them. You know, it's always good. Interest rates going down is
it's always good.
Always good. Always a good time to buy.
Bye. Yeah. Bye.
All right, we talked about rotation. We talked about the VIX now hovering about 22, 23, which we talked about because after the election, that relief. We have a fake meat update.
Oh, yes, the fake meat. I was hearing some reports about this.
Yeah, so Beyond Meat was getting hit following a headline that McDonald's is developing its own plant-based burger called the McPlant Burger.
Yeah, the McPlant.
The McPlant Burger. Like
with all those brainiacs that work at McDonald's headquarters, HQ, you'd think one of them would come up with something that would have some just a kind of a marketing gift where you hear it and you go, oh, what a great name.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, if you got the McRib and people like that, you could do the McPlant, the McBison, the McReindeer Burger.
I'd go for the McBison Burger.
Yeah.
I'd actually buy one.
Would you? Bison's good. Very, very good for you. Less fat, right?
Well, it's a bison's also very tasty.
So the stock gets hit on this news, and then right away, the company comes out and says, whoa. They're working with McDonald's on the plant-based meat product, so don't get so uptight.
Yeah, that was the rumor.
Okay. Then they come out with their earnings. And the earnings aren't so good. There's a big, significant amount of inventory that's sitting there rotting, I guess, the pea plant protein, whatever.
Somebody on one of these financial talk shows said that, one of the two phony meat companies said, oh, people are stocked up and they've been putting the stuff in the freezers. That's what they're going to be doing more of, and that's going to save us. As if anybody buys this crap to freeze it.
Yeah, I don't think that hurts the flavor. It just can't. It's impossible to hurt the flavor.
Yeah, well, actually, maybe a little freezer burn will make it taste better.
Mm. So now, let's see what else we got here. So then they come out with earnings that night, and the stock gets absolutely obliterated, down about 17% today. But they did confirm that they are doing something with McDonald's. So I'm thinking about putting that, even though I don't like this company, it is a cult stock. So I think that we may talk about it for the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to jump in on it, but I think it's a great idea, especially if this is true.
Mm-hmm. I talked about the hickory smoked jalapeno beef jerky this weekend as the storm was coming through, 60 mile an hour winds this weekend, massive rain, floods everywhere.
Yeah, we could use a report.
Of what?
Of what happened to you?
Yeah, it was. I brought everything in all of a sudden on, I don't know, Thursday.
How did Tiki Hut do?
The Tiki Hut did well. I'm getting the whole top, all the palms, the fronds, whatever you call them, the leaves. I'm getting them redone because it's been about 5 years. And it starts getting a little bit, you know, they start getting brittle. And they start getting more potential for rain to come through or the wind to clip them off or dirt spreading around. So you want to replace those. So my guy was all ready and like,
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
So they actually like a thatched roof. Rain doesn't come in.
No rain comes in at all.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah.
So it's a big rainstorm going out there. The Tiki Huts are getting bombarded with rain. It's not raining in sight. So you go out there and have a beer.
Yeah, and a cigar actually. That's true. That's the fact. I sit there in the rain. The only problem you have is when there's massive wind and it comes from the sides. It could be downpouring. I mean downpouring. And the only thing that's going to happen is I'm going to get splashed maybe from the sides, possibly from the rain dripping down or possibly wind blowing in. Otherwise, stays perfectly dry.
Interesting.
Until it gets to a point where there starts to get a little bit of erosion because these leaves start breaking off over time, right? You know, you follow what I'm saying? The palm frond, if they get really, really, really dry.
Yeah, you're going to fix that.
So I'm going to get it redone. The guy wanted to do it in October. I'm like, you know what? Let's wait till after hurricane season. So we're going to do it next week, I think, or actually end of November. We'll do it. Well, so anyway, that was good. I did smoke that during the storm. Pulled the smoker underneath the tiki and smoked that 3 hour smoke on that beef.
How big is this Tiki Hut?
It's about 14 feet by 24.
Oh, yeah. You got lots of room and you have a party.
Yeah, I have. I've had a bands under there. We have parties with the band under the tiki, put a bar on the other end. Quite the event. It's a beautiful thing. Love my tiki. It's like my comfort tiki. All right, let's see here. Saying goodbye. Oh, we have to say a fond farewell to Alex Trebek, who passed away this week. And the question is, will the show go on?
Why wouldn't it?
Well, who's going to do it? You think? I have my guess of who's going to do it.
Yeah, who?
Ken Jennings.
Who's that? The superstar winner?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And there's this James Langhauser, but he's kind of weird.
Well, if they don't get somebody decent, they probably crap up. But it's really, the show is mostly about the questions and answers. And, you know, Trebek was a likable host, but he wasn't anything other than a lot of other guys. There's lots of guys that could do that. Although he always had that surprised look when nobody could get the answer and he'd stare at him kind of with his chin out a little bit. And then he'd say, Marcus Aurelius.
Like, didn't you know it was Marcus Aurelius? He also appeared to be the smartest guy in the world because he like knew all the answers, but obviously you knew. But in how he'd say everything with the proper accent and know all the stuff. I mean, he definitely, I thought he was great. I loved him. We used to watch him, you know, just like a family from the 1950s sitting on the sofa watching American Bandstand or something or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Sunday nights, you know, the Ed Sullivan show. We like
always like the show. It's very enjoyable.
Okay, a couple of things. EV update. We have Bentley Motors plans to exclusively offer plug-in hybrid and electric vehicles by 2026 and fully electric models by 2030. So they said within a decade, Bentley will transform from a 100-year-old luxury car company to a new, sustainable, wholly ethical role model for luxury. Oh, it's a mouthful. He aims to completely be carbon neutral by 2030. Did he hit every green word that would be
checklist.
Yeah, it was a checklist there, wasn't it? Yep.
Yeah.
So you know,
I don't
these
think anybody who owns a Bentley. I suppose maybe there's a few, maybe some, I don't know, millennial billionaires. There's a few of them too. Really is that concerned about, I mean, about having the hybrid, getting good gas mileage.
No, they don't use them that much. I mean, I have friends that have Bentleys and it's like, okay, we'll use it. You want to go with the Bentley tonight? I'm like, all right, where are we going? We'll just drive it down the block. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go for a ride.
I know one, well, I know two people that own Bentleys, but they seem to use them more. I don't know.
Well, again, these are very
kind of a ritzy. It's kind of a car. Make me a nervous wreck driving a Bentley all the time.
Well, Bentleys are extremely heavy cars, which is the polar opposite of what EVs are trying to accomplish, right?
Yeah.
So I guess they're going to come up with a fully different design. I don't know. We'll see.
I'll make it out of plastic.
Oh, yeah. Great. Tesla CEO Elon Musk made good on his promise to sell Tesla tequila 2 years after teasing the plan in a tweet. And the $250 per bottle supply went quickly off the virtual shelves. This is another one of those one-time sales that he does every once in a while. Remember he did the flamethrowers?
So he picked up some I guess, Añejo tequila somewhere.
Yeah, kind of get a batch of it, threw it in a really cool-looking bottle.
Yeah, I got a batch of this stuff that's probably sold normally for $80, which is expensive. Yeah, okay. Good and for him.
Now these bottles, the empty bottles, because you can't sell the full bottles because it's then selling liquor, right, across state lines. The empty bottles are selling on eBay from anywhere from $900 to $7,000.
Oh, that way you can put your own cheap tequila in
it. Yeah, and it's more of a Tesla decanter. You know, than anything else.
Yeesh.
Yep. Biden is already putting together his cabinet, a pointy update. President Trump not conceding at all. But Monday morning, the COVID task force was established by president-elect with a question mark and an asterisk, Biden. So the one thing he's also doing, he's expecting to tap former derivatives market regulator Gary Gensler. I feel like, honestly, I feel like this is a throwback to like a decade ago.
Rings a bell.
This guy, he chaired the CTFC, which is the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, from 2009 to 2014. You should look up a picture of this guy. He's kind of, you know, looks a little weird. But
well, look it up now.
Yeah, Gary Gensler. And he's going to be working with a team of policy experts focused on the banking and market regulators such as CTFC, the Federal Reserve, and the SEC as part of the usual agency review process.
Yeah, this guy looks like an alien.
Yeah, he does. He looks like who's the boss in Family Guy. It's like the Family Guy boss. I think it's the Family Guy boss.
Well, maybe a little bit. But he looks a lot like
Minion guy.
He's got the big eyes. He looks like an alien. Yeah. He's from Mars.
Yeah. So what we're seeing is the old guard being resurrected is what I see.
Yeah. At drinking clubs.
Back to that again. So it's kind of be interesting to see. Yeah, somebody's mentioning in the chat room wondering where my $100 signed check is.
I didn't say that. I'm just going to just take it off of the PayPal thing.
Oh, you said I could bring that clip up.
Bring it up. No, that's what I wanted from you. You never acknowledged that you wanted that from me.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. But we're not actually, I'm not claiming victory yet. It's still.
Well, when your victory is coming, I mean, so you'll get your money. And, you know, which I think is funny because you're the last guy I expected to put this bet down with. I had offered this bet to my normal people that lose bets to me year after year after year after year, really for 10 or 20 years. I offered the bet to all of them.
Mm. Nobody would take it.
And for some reason, nobody took me up on it except you.
Mm.
So I came out smelling like a rose in this deal, just losing 100. I would have lost thousands of dollars if these losers, I hate to say that, who always lose bets. And this, of course, just proves the point. They can't win. I should have known that something was up. I maybe shouldn't have taken the bet with you because if they're not going to take an easy bet, then I was obviously on the wrong side of the bet.
Well, if they're not going to take, yeah, well, yeah. So a couple of things. President-elect is calling for pressure on competitors, and tariffs are now being talked about. The European Union is now putting tariffs on $4 billion of Boeing jets if Boeing couldn't have any more problems. And U.S. goods annually is part of a long-running trade dispute, so now they're going to have to deal with that. And I think they're starting to put pressure to see how they can easily they'll be able to bend Biden.
Huh.
We'll see. You know, that's a standard thing, right? You know, didn't we have a few times when a new president gets inaugurated and there's like some weird thing that happens in the Mideast like right away?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like the Pfizer vaccine.
Right. In China, the state media is striking an optimistic tone on Monday in editorials reacting to Democratic Joe Biden's win of the U.S. presidential election, saying relations can be restored to a state of greater predictability and could start with trade. So they're obviously doing something. The Kremlin said on Monday it would wait for the official results of the U.S. presidential election before commenting on the outcome, et cetera. Betting site. That's not that exciting. What time is it? We got a couple of minutes. Bitcoin ramping over 15,000. The entire crypto space is moving as the U.S. dollar started to fade. Let's see what else we got here.
The fading is going to continue.
I think so. You ever hear the brand Supreme? It's a retail brand. It's kind of like
the... No, I've never heard of that brand. No.
Nope. So it's they call it a streetwear brand. It's just stuff that they stick a label on that says Supreme, in my opinion. And it's being sold to the parent of Vans and Timberland, which it's being sold for $2.1 billion. Yeah. I have a question. I've been wondering something for a while now. The last few years, we started to see more and more reference to questions to be answered by how things are going on the betting sites. Right?
Yeah, this is true.
Where, you know, okay, who's leading in the presidential election? Or, you know, what's the odds on, you know, either politics or other things that are going, I mean, anything you could bet on, basically, right? And why are we paying attention to these things? Seriously, why is it, you know, that because we can't get data over the weekend, we get the betting sites to see what's going to happen with the markets? I don't understand. It seems really stupid to me that, you know, these betting people are not necessarily, they're gamblers.
Yeah, they're just inveterate gamblers.
And they're betting on anything they can get a line on.
Anything.
Anything. So why is the media, the media and others saying, oh, what are the betting sites saying? You know what I'm saying? I just
because the media people are betting on, they're using these sites.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure most of the people that are in today's media are a bunch of like degenerate gamblers. Every once in a while you hear about some guy, you know, that says, well, he's a great guy, or he turned out to have a gambling problem. Hmm. That's just my guess.
Yeah. Berkshire Hathaway came out with their profits over the weekend. They do it over the weekend. And they posted a lower operating profit as the coronavirus pandemic, of course, weighed on some of their businesses. A lot of their businesses are related to the economy and very tied to it. But their gains in the stocks, such as Apple, fueled a big quarterly net profit. So they also repurchased $9.3 billion of its own stock in the quarter and a total of $16 billion so far this year. $16 billion of their own stock this year, which is unbelievable.
That doesn't seem right.
Well, Buffett can't find any acquisition. So they said, well, some businesses are rebounding from the pandemic's death. The pain persists.
Not looking hard enough.
I don't know. It seems very weird. Third quarter operating profit fell 32%. But net income rose 82%. So they kind of put out all sorts of numbers. And it used to be that operating profit was an important issue and book value. But he kind of changed his tune about a year or so ago. I said, because when it wasn't going directionally.
I saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah, he said, maybe we got to change how we do this. Yep. Lyft came out with earnings tonight, still losing a ton of money. One penny better on the estimate, but that's a rounding error, you know, from 89 cents to 88 cents or whatever it was loss. And the stock
They should have gotten a boost from the fact that California passed a law saying that they can go back in business.
That was a big boost. Uber hit an all-time high this week. And the stock was up 5%, but not because they did well on earnings, because they're announcing an extraordinary, unique business they're going to enter into.
Yeah.
That is the food delivery business.
Wow, no one's thought of that.
Nope. Nope. And we know that Uber's losing money on that. And we know that there's a lot of delivery going on, so that would increase the potential for them to get rise in revenue.
In fact, the Uber Eats is going to change its name to Uber Eats It.
Oh, God.
So much money they're losing.
Yep. So I'm thinking maybe they should get into the vaccine delivery business. That would be something.
Yeah. Now you're talking.
Right?
I'd be investing.
Yeah. I mean, the food delivery business, this is not like you something that you want to, I don't know. It's not something I want to back. Hey, listen, folks. It's really important.
Before you go into that little pitch.
Yeah, what?
The food delivery business has been all these scandals of people eating the food.
What scandals?
The scandals about people driving your food to you, meanwhile, they open and eat a bunch of it.
Yeah.
I don't need this aggravation. Anyway, go on. Yeah. Sorry.
What I was going to mention is if you would like to help along pay for John's gambling loss, you can donate to the show, and we really encourage you to do so. It makes you feel so good being a part of this. We talk about this week in and week out. We do a lot of work in prep and coming to this for the last, 10, 12 years, whatever it is. And we just ask you to contribute. And if you're listening right now, if you're in the chat room, if you're live, go over to the site, dhunplug.com. Look for the little donate button. It's in the chat room. It's on the bottom. Look at the bottom of your page right now. There's a little yellow button on there. For those of you listening on the recorded, just go over to DH Unplugged, click the button, and whatever it is that you want to give, listen, it is the season to give to podcasts. That is November. November is podcast donation month. I just declared it. So
I'm in.
Yeah. So it starts in November of 2020 and it ends in 2027.
Right to Christmas.
Yeah, right through the year. So please do us a favor and go over there and help us out with that. Virgin's Hyperloop. This is another big thing. These same characters. The Elon Musk, the Richard Bransons. I'm surprised that Bill Gates doesn't have one either. It's this Hyperloop. This underground tube that you get into in a city. You sit in and
you get in a little tubey thingy. Get into a little capsule a vitamin pill, and boom, you go 600 miles an hour through the tube.
Didn't they have something like this in Sleeper? It was something like this in Sleeper, and also in...
There's been a number of movies that had this idea.
There was another one with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was not Total Recall. It was the other one where he...
Running Man.
Running Man, yeah, he had that, yeah. But anyway, Richard Branson's Virgin Hyperloop has completed the world's first passenger ride on a super high-speed levitating pod system, the company said on Sunday. A key safety test. The executives Josh Geigel and Chief Technology Officer Sarah Lucian, Director of Passenger Experience, reached speeds of up to 107 miles an hour, which is not a big deal.
The car goes faster than that.
It's hoping to go 600 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So they're going to have these things between Las Vegas, Nevada, and probably L.A. and San Francisco. You got to dig up the earth, though, and do this. So it's a big old tunnel.
No, they can put it on an elevated tube.
Oh, outside, right. But some reason they want to dig it down. I don't know why.
Well, it's because people driving by the tube would take a shot at it and make it lose air.
Because it's pressurized.
It's like a semi-vacuum inside.
Yeah. The Mets have been sold. Billionaire hedge fund manager Stevie Cohen on Friday completed the purchase of the New York Mets baseball team. $2.4 billion.
Huh.
For the Mets.
That's
and
a lot.
Airbnb is IPOing. They actually postponed. It was supposed to come out this week. But just tonight, late news, they are going to be postponing that until at least next week. So we'll see what happens there. Now we have one limerick submission.
Yeah, I see there's nobody else, and I'm getting the sense that it's my harsh grading.
It could be. Your heart, yeah, everybody's afraid. If you do want to send in a limerick, send it into DH email at dhunplug.com. We'll put it on the show, and whatever it is, it is. It's a lot of fun. even though John may grade harshly from a guy that never submitted one, by the way.
If I put one in there, I'll knock it out of the park and I'll give it an A.
You would. Yeah, of course you would. Of course you would. But you can send a DH email at dhunplugged.com. We really like to get those in. Here's one submission by a guy named Andrew Horowitz. Here we go. There is a new president named Biden who sat in his basement a-hiding. When it comes to his picks, it's back to the old tricks as yelling for treasury he's deciding.
Ooh, that's a good one. Nice and tight. You nailed it. I'm going to give you an A.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And you read it right, too.
Yeah, Chad was like, not a cold.
The big shock there.
Yep. Not a cold read. That's funny. That's funny. All right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in this segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures. So,
well, first of all,
it's hard to look at this list.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
How long have we been doing this game? How many years do you think?
5 years.
I think more than that.
It could be 6 years. Yeah, maybe.
How many doublers?
Yeah, this is only a few.
Which, a few?
Maybe two or three, maybe two. I know I had one.
No, you didn't.
I did. I had something in there. Maybe not. All right. So I'll give it to you.
To get a doubler, this is not a normal doubler because you can never have a pullback. If you get a pullback, get right. kicked out.
Right.
Because of the 10% thing we've got set up. So it's very rare to even imagine one happening, let alone having one stare you in the face.
And it was even higher earlier in the week.
And what's even more interesting, it's only 2 months, 60 days. So anybody out there who took advantage of this and made some money, you know, maybe a donation to the show wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah. Kodiak Sciences, Baker Brothers, up 117% in 2 months. Not even two months. Says a lot for the Baker Brothers again.
The Baker Brothers. You can't go wrong.
Unbelievable.
Can't go wrong.
But I got to tell you something. This list has the most brightness to it of any list I've seen.
It's very bright. We got 60% up on your train technology, which is, I looked at this, oh man, this is going to pass me. Oh no, I guess he didn't pass me up. FVCB, a bank.
Yeah, the regionals. Bank. The regionals, unbelievable this week. It's really the last couple weeks.
35% up.
Yep.
Xerox is up.
Which is also amazing.
U.S. Global Jets, the ETF, which I wasn't a big fan, but it's up 11%. Summit Financial Group, another bank, is up another 32%. Kodiak, of course, is up 116, almost 117. Then the recent picks, we had Selecta, which is it hasn't done much, but it's up 4% almost. And then you did this one just like yesterday. The ETF for Biden, the Biden bet, and it's up already 14%.
Yeah, marijuana.
Astonishing.
Yep.
The gold hasn't done anything. That's dead money. Mm.
But Honeywell, you picked
upward. Well, look, my upward wedge of Honeywell.
Yeah.
Picked last show.
Unbelievable.
Up 14.5% already.
Yep. Amazing. So I'm going to put Beyond Meat on there. Do you want to put Novavax?
Yeah, I was good. Was I shorting that? I think I was shorting it.
Yeah, you're shorting that.
Let's put a short up there.
This one here I can copy.
The only short that didn't work out, what got kicked off, was a TransDigm, which was my pick. It's up to $544. It's getting to look like a better and better short every time we turn around.
Let me put this in here before
And your Wayfair got crapped out.
Well, and that's unfortunate. Can I just say this? Because if it held on a few, it was down 20% over the last couple of days. It was like 235, 225. So unfortunately, it's all about the timing.
The Biden bump didn't help you.
Yeah. So that's going. What else you got?
That's all I got. I do have one more. Let me go get it.
Novonax is what? Just
short.
Yeah, but what's the thesis?
It's upward price. It's a $4 stock. What thesis do you need?
All right, overpriced. JCD.
Okay, I got one.
All right.
Summit Therapeutics.
Didn't you have this before?
Yeah, I think so. I'm buying more. It's not on there now.
I have a whole list here. I can see. I don't see it here, though. What's the symbol?
It's SMMT. I probably had something that sounded like it.
So this
the CEO, long. This is an insider's thing. The CEO just bought $47 million worth of stock of his own company, SMMT. Now, the thesis is, I think the big, you know, he's also a director and he's a major shareholder of PLSE. He's been buying that consistently for years. Pulse Biosciences. I think he's going to merge them.
Oh, so it's insider / merger. All right, I got that.
Because there's no reason to buy this much of this one stock. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a cheap stock, too. It's only $3.34 for all you plungers out there.
You can get yourself 5 shares for $15 and just, you know, call it a day.
Yeah, you'd be good.
Okay, very good. All right, well, I will cut it here and call it a night and look forward to our discussion next week.
All right, I'm looking forward to it, too. See you then.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.